book of Psalm, chapter 37. It's one of my favorite psalms in the Word of God, but it's one of those psalms that brings conviction every time you read it. Chapter number 37, I'm going to read the first, I think I'll do the verse 7 verses tonight. Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Look at verse 8 as well. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you this evening that we have this, your precious word, in our hands. Lord, we need it in our hearts tonight. Lord, we need you to reach deep within us and do some changing work. Spirit of God, anoint tonight. Work in our lives. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to deal with a subject tonight that I'm going to assume that everyone here is guilty of. If we were to take you to a court of law and begin to bring forth the things that you have said and put witnesses on the stand, I believe everyone in this room would be called guilty of the sin of worry. It does not escape the eldest or the youngest. It is something that floods over the hearts and minds of so many. In her book, Attitude is Everything, a woman by the name of Vicki Hitzkus, if I'm saying it right, wrote the following, and I quote. She says, "I used to worry a lot. The more I fretted, the more proficient I became at it. Anxiety begetteth anxiety. I even worried that I worried too much. Ulcers might develop. My health could fail. My finances could deplete to pay the hospital bills." She goes on with her writing, says, "A comedian once said, I tried to drown my sorrows with gin, but my worries are equipped with flotation devices." Isn't that the truth? While not a drinker, I certainly could identify. My worries could swim, jump, and pole vault. Can you identify with Ms. Vicki on that? She went to a man by the name of Fred Smith. Fred Smith is a businessman down in the state of Texas. Fred Smith is the man who mentored Zig Ziglar, who was very famous for his promotional speeches across the nation. And she asked him if he ever worried. She expected to hear from him a response that would deny that he ever had worry. And she was quite surprised when he replied and said that he was a top-notch worrier, that he had been one of the best, but he had learned an important truth. And this is what he said to her, and again I quote, as she writes, "I decided that I would wait to worry," he explained. Let me repeat that. "I decided that I would wait to worry," he explained. "I decided that I'd wait until I actually had a reason to worry. Something that has or that was happening, not just something that might happen before I worried." I thought, whoa. I read an article where it tells us they've done studies, clinical tests and studies, and they have found that 92% of worry is inefficient. That's about like a fireplace. For every BTU used, a fireplace gets one of them into the house while 10 of them go up the chimney. That is a good rated fireplace. Some fireplaces, by the way, the amount of BTUs that you burn and go up the chimney might actually take 10% more with it. Think about it. What they are saying is, out of every 100 things that you worry about, 8 of them might come true. No wonder, Mr. Smith said, I decided that I would wait to worry. Wait to worry. What an interesting concept. But as you stop and think about it, if worry is 92% inefficient, then why are we spending so much energy on it? Spurgeon said it very well. He said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength. What's he saying? Mr. Spurgeon is saying, our worry does not help tomorrow, but it hurts today. It does not accomplish anything in our lives but to destroy what we could enjoy this day. Interesting. I heard of an old wise preacher many years ago. I do not know his name, but he said this. He said, I set aside 5 minutes every day to worry. Interesting, amen? 5 minutes every day to worry. In other words, worry is a choice we make to do. You may disagree with that, but you're disagreeing with Scripture. Because my Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. If God gives us a command, that means that we have the choice to follow that command or not to follow that command. In verse number 7, he says basically the same thing, where he says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way. The psalmist is saying, fret not, fret not. The book of Luke, chapter number 10, verses 40 to 42, give us a little insight into two sisters as they meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. Their name is Martha and Mary, and listen to what the Bible says. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Could we use the word worried? Why is a woman cumbered? What's the problem? Because she's worried that what she's trying to get on the table, what she's trying to do for the household is not going to take place. She's upset with her sister because she's not helping her. She's cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. What's he saying? Martha, you're worried. Listen to what he says. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Martha, what is your problem? You are cumbered about this. You're worried. You've got an attitude problem here. Mary has chosen something very healthful for her. She's made it a choice. I have learned I can choose not to. Understand something tonight. I am a first-class worrier. If I was in the Iowa State Fair for worry, I would receive the blue ribbon. We who go about and look like that we're just not upset about anything are classic examples of worriers. We just don't want you to know it. We have perfected our art to a new level. Some of you here who look calm and collected, are a bundle of nerves ready to explode. I'm the head of the WWA. That's the Worry Warts Anonymous. I can produce more stomach acid in one sitting than a family can in most homes. But I have learned this. I can choose not to do so. It's a choice. Fret not thyself. What's the Lord saying? You can quit. Let me ask you, Christian, who lives inside of you? Who is the person within you? Is he not the Holy Spirit of God? Is the Holy Spirit of God worried? No. And if the Holy Spirit of God lives within you and you allow Him to function fully in your life, is your life about worry? No. No. Not at all. Quite the contrary. We have the ability, if you're saved tonight, especially, you have the ability not to worry. I hate to say this to you, but I don't always follow that advice. For some reason, you and I, we are all too willing to go back to squalor living from time to time. Like all whiners, sorry for selfers, moodiers, I'm coining new words. We like the hominess of these dens of iniquity. We like living there from time to time. We've risen out of that, but, oh, that was our life for so many years. Let's go back and try it again. Is that not what we do? And over we do. But may I say to you tonight, like the prodigal son, we can make the choice to change residency. When we have lived in that squalor long enough, we can say, I'm going back to my father's house. Did you ever notice what happened to that prodigal? Really, stop and think about it. What happened to that prodigal? He changed his thinking from the pig pen and all that he was trying to get a hold of to eat to his father's house. The problem with our worry is that you and I have our thinking wrong. There is one weapon the devil has that is effective against Christians. That weapon that he has is called the lie. No wonder Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Free of what? The lies of Satan. When you and I begin to place our thinking upon the Father's house as opposed to the squalor that we're living in, it begins to a chain of events that brings us back to the Father's house. And with that, I'd like to show you some more from this tremendous chapter. For we find here in Psalm chapter number 37, the Lord says, fret not, don't do that, quit your worrying, but here is what you do do. My mother had the philosophy that if she could keep me busy, I didn't have time to get in trouble. She thought if she kept me busy doing these kinds of things that were right and good and proper, that I didn't have time to get in trouble. She thought that when the snow came down from the sky, that it was my job to go out and to scoop the snow off of every old lady's house in the entire Midwest. Well, at least our block. And while I was scooping snow off of those lots, I did not have the opportunity to grab a snowball and throw it at the nearest bus that was driving by. Yeah, I've done that too. Because I got done with the shoveling the snow off those people's lots. But she had a good philosophy. And you know, that's exactly what the Lord's trying to teach us here. If you and I would learn to take and replace those things that are in our lives that are wrong and evil and replace them with that which is right and good, it is amazing what will take place in our life. Notice what it says here in verse number 3. In verse 1 it says, "Fret not, but here's what we ought to do. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Trust, as opposed to fret. Do those sound like they might be just a little bit anti each other? Does a person who is trusting have fretting as a part of his life? If we're trusting in God and we're trusting Him to do whatever it is that He needs to do in our lives, is there cause for worry? Not while we're trusting. Our problem with worry is we're not trusting God. We're not believing Him. We're not putting our faith in Him. We're thinking, it is not up to Him, it's up to me. And you and I are all built that way. And in the battle with the flesh, we deal with that constantly. And rather than trust, we worry. And we go back to the pig pen and we live there for a while until finally we get sick and tired of it and we cry out to the Lord and we put our trust in Him. But oh, that we might just learn to stay there. I preached a sermon many years ago called The Path. And what I was talking about was the path from the Father's house to the pig pen. We run that path constantly, don't we? We're at the Father's house, and instead of keeping our eyes upon Him, we start down the path of selfness. Until we get all the way down to the pig pen, until we finally realize, hey, here I am in this squalor, in this mess, and we look back to the Father's house and thank God, as was mentioned in one of the testimonies, He's still working on us. Thank God He's still there. He has not left the post. But what do we need to do? Trust Him. How are we going to get away from fretting? Trust. Replace it. Notice verse number 4. This is an interesting. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Not only trust, but delight. Being excited about God. Thinking about how great and wondrous He is. Let me ask you something. Have you just sat down and delighted in the Lord? I'm going to get honest very hard here. The conversations that you and I have on a normal basis do not show that we delight ourselves in the Lord. Our conversation normally isn't about Him and about how He's operating in lives. It's not about Bible doctrines. It's not about prayers that have been answered. It's not about spiritual matters at all. I'm talking about in our Christian circles. Nothing wrong with it. But we've replaced it with football. Did you hear what Nebraska did yesterday? Forgive me, I'm stepping on a sacred cow. But quite seriously, hey, I love to see him play. But where are we at spiritually? Are we delighted in the Lord? I mean, have we read our Bible and we've come across some truth and we just can't wait to get with another Christian and say, man, look at what I found? Isn't this a great truth? Have we had an answer to prayer and we're excited because God answered my prayer? We've seen God do something in our life and we just can't contain ourselves. Delight ourselves in the Lord. Why do we worry? Because we haven't replaced worry with trust and delight. Delight ourselves in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow. Preacher, that can't be true. Your declaration just erased it from your life because of unbelief. Notice verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Can we fret and trust? No. Can we fret and delight? No. Can we fret and be committed to God? Really stop and think about it. Commit thy way unto Him. If we are committed to Him, I mean really committed to Him, all of our life, all of our purpose, everything about us is for Him, then why are we worrying? Because far too much of it is about us as opposed to Him. By the way, choir, I'm preaching to me too. It's where we live at. These are strong things when we stop and think about it. We are guilty of worry. But it's a choice we make. Delight ourselves. Commit our way unto the Lord. And notice verse 7. Rest. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Fretting is just the opposite. When are you going to do it, Lord? Why isn't it right now? Wait patiently for Him. There's an interesting verse in the Bible. And as your pastor, I've got to go to it quite often because it simply says that we are to preach the Word with long suffering. By the way, you know what long suffering means? This is awesome. Are you ready for this? This is deep stuff, Mindy, okay? You can put this down on your PhD list, all right? Long suffering means to suffer a long time. Isn't that awesome? What's that mean? It's talking about patience. Enduring, waiting. Because God has it coming. Just rest in Him. Rest in Him. The answer's on the way. But rest in Him. Can we honestly rest in the Lord and fret at the same time? Here's the replacement factor. How can we change it? Well, it's simply making a choice not to do it. And in its place, choosing to do something else. As opposed to worry, we are choosing to trust. As opposed to worry, we're choosing to delight. Amen. Instead of worry, we're choosing to commit. Instead of worry, we're choosing to rest in Him. It's a choice. 20 years ago, if I had heard this message, I'd say it's not true. I would have said, that guy is full of beans. Honest to goodness. But I have learned that worry is my choice. And I choose it far too often. And one that put me on the right spot in that was in Philippians chapter number 4. When he lists all those things whatsoever, things are good. And at the end then he says, think on these things. What's God saying? I can change what I think about. You see, the devil is constantly seeking to place thoughts into your mind that are lies, to get you to worry. 8% of those things, 8 out of 100, may happen. But to worry about it today until it happens isn't going to help it any. And 92 times out of 100, it never even happens. Here's an interesting one. I worry a lot of times about what people are thinking about me, when in actuality, they aren't even thinking about me. They're too busy thinking about themselves. They don't even have time to think about me, to think those things that I think they're thinking about me. And a bunch of you are smiling because you are as guilty as I am in this. Aren't you? The altar's open in just a few minutes. Yeah, all of us have this problem. And we can. Fret not. We can. And I hope one of these days I can stand here and say, I've reached the spot where I don't do it anymore. One of you walk up to me before the service starts, say, Preacher, I need to talk to you about something. I'm going to guarantee you, I'm going to be fretting through the entire service wondering what in the world it is you want to talk to me about. I'm going to be bugged. I'm thinking, what's going on in their lives? What are they mad at me for? Who are they going to shoot? What's going on? Yeah. And I can produce scenarios with this vivid imagination. Some 20 years ago, I got in the pulpit and I said, please don't come up to me before the service and say, I need to talk to you about something really important. Please wait till after the service to even say that. Honest to goodness, we had a family get up, walk out and said, he doesn't care about us. I'm not coming back to this church. It was not what I meant at all. I'm telling you, that's one of my problems. You have the same thing, amen? Somebody comes to you and says, I want to talk to you about something in 3 days. You're going to say, oh, goody, goody, I want to wait 3 days. No, you want to find out right now, don't you? Yeah. Because you'll be doing it. See, we're all geared this way. We need to learn to fret not, realizing most of it won't happen. And secondly, it won't do any good. And thirdly, God wants us to go in a different direction and make the choice not to. And what I know tonight is this. There's not a person in this room that does not have the same problem that I have. And part of the truth is known, we have it to the same degree. But God doesn't want us to have it. And we can learn to make the right choice. I've learned it and trying to relearn it over and over. Lord, tonight, speak to our hearts. Lord, an area that is so crucial and critical for each of us. Lord, sometimes we lose sleep. Sometimes, Lord, even our health is affected. Lord, I've seen that in my life. Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize we have a choice. And that we can think on those good things. Lord, we know that the devil is right there to remind us over and over and over again. But we also know the greater is He that is in us than He's in the world. So Lord, I pray that You would give us victory in this area. Lord, we run that path too many times from the Father's house to the pig pen. Oh Lord God, how we want to just dwell with You. Bless and work in our hearts tonight. Lord, no doubt there are needs here tonight. No doubt there's things that need to can be confessed. No doubt there's things that need to be dealt with. No doubt we just need to maybe bend our knee and bow our head and say, Lord, I worry because I don't trust You. Lord, whatever the need is, may it be taken care of tonight. Work and bless in our hearts and our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.